Why don't we give that hand clap unto the Lord and accompany it with an uplifted voice of thanksgiving? Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this house. And if it wasn't for the Lord, I don't know where I would be. My life was nothing until He set me free. But I'm thankful that He made a difference in my life. And boy, I feel the same Holy Ghost here that I felt the last place I preached. Isn't that just something? We are part of an eternal global kingdom. It is a kingdom that is without boundary and a kingdom that has no end. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to just come together with the people of God and feel like you've known them for a long time. Because you're already connected. Amen. We've drank into one spirit, the Bible says, in one place. And it's the same Lord, the same faith, the same baptism. And I just feel a Holy Ghost anointing on this church and in this place. I want to go to the book of Genesis. We'll go back to Genesis tonight. Let's go to 26. I believe it is 26 and verse 18. And as you are turning there, I give honor to the saints of the Most High God. Thank you for just showing up to the house of the Lord every time the doors are open. And you keep giving. And there's probably not very many people in this house that are going to be called to physically go to Africa and China and India and Nicaragua and those places and spread the gospel. But when you give, you're going. And this is a revival church because it's a giving church. And I heard of this church a long time before I ever came here. And I just kind of feel like that queen that visited Solomon's temple. The half has not yet been told. Amen. Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 15 tonight. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. I feel led by the Holy Ghost to preach to you a message that the Lord dropped in my spirit when I woke up from a nap today. Amen. The Lord's got to talk to somebody in dreams, right? It might as well be you and me. Amen. And I want to preach to you about the wells of my Father. The wells of my Father. I'm just going to ask for just a little bit more monitor here tonight. I'm going to try to stand behind the pulpit and preach a little bit. And would you just lay your Bible down on the chair behind you? And would you lift up both hands unto the Lord? Would you just begin to talk to Him? Begin to invite His Word into your mind, into your spirit, into your heart right now? Lord, we open up our mind. We open up our spirit. We open up our heart to Your Word tonight. I pray that You will minister in a mighty way. Lord, let there be a miraculous visitation of Your Spirit in this house tonight. Let Your Word go forth unimpeded. Lord, Your Word is not bound. Your Word is powerful. Lord, Your Word divides. Your Word unites. Lord, Your Word heals. God, there is an answer in Your Word. Lord, there is demonstration that will come from Your Word. We thank You for Your Word. Let there be tremendous liberty in this house tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One more time, put your hands together and give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of the Lord. You can be seated this evening as I preach to you about the wells of my Father. When we read about the patriarch of patriarchs, Abraham, we understand that Abraham was a man that busied himself in many things. It appears from the pages of Scripture that he was a wealthy man, a man of means in the material world, and he was also a man of means in the spirit world. For Abraham was a man that we find in Genesis chapter number 12, that the Lord called and said unto Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." That's how the Lord works. Many times when He calls, He does not show you exactly the end result of that calling. If He showed you everything that you have to walk through to get to the finality and the destination, that place that He has prepared for you, then you would probably get discouraged before the journey even begins. And so the Lord unveils to us and unfolds to us a little bit at a time. One place in Scripture says here a little and there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. The promises of God unfold one service at a time. That's why I just got to be at the house of the Lord when the doors are open. The promises of God unfold one morning session at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee and my Bible at a time. The promises of God unfold one offering at a time. Can I get a witness? Does the Lord, is He still Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides? The promises of God unfold one act of faithfulness at a time. I'm thankful for the promises of God. And Abraham had an understanding that God would do exactly what He promised that He would do. Abraham had a belief that that which He has promised, that He is able to perform. And so Abraham understood that these, I don't know if he consciously understood it, but I believe that he subconsciously had a seed of understanding that it had been dropped in his spirit, that these promises are not just for me, but these promises are going to outlive me. Now, I believe that he probably thought that he would see the total fulfillment in his lifetime. But there was an understanding that the promise was not just for Abraham, but there was a promised seed that would come after him. The Lord had said, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make your name great, Abraham, and you shall be a blessing." And he said, "I'll bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all of the families of the earth be blessed." And so Abraham here leaves the land of the familiar. He was living in what might be likened to the New York City or Los Angeles of his day. Ur of the Chaldees was a cultural, economic, and social mecca of the day. But Abraham was willing to leave that which was comfortable. He was willing to step out on the Word of God and leave that which was familiar. He was willing to go and seek something that he could not quite make out yet, but he understood that there's something beyond where I'm living right now, and I'm not going to be satisfied dying here. I'm not going to die with the hand that's been dealt me, but I believe that God's got an anointing and the Lord has a future, so I'm gonna cut ties and burn the ships and leave comfortable behind, and I'm gonna press into my promise. And so then Abraham, when he left, he began digging wells. There was faith in the digging of those wells. faith that said that this is not just for me, but these wells that I dig are going to sustain future generations to walk into the promise. And atop Moriah, Abraham would be tested by the Lord. And the Lord would say, take your only son Isaac atop the mountain, and I want you to present him a sacrifice. And Abraham would obey. The angel of the Lord would stop his hand. There would be a ram in the thicket caught by its horns. And the Lord would speak and say, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing will I bless thee, and in multiplying will I multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. What the Lord is telling him is, Abraham, this promise is not just for you. Abraham could have folded up camp and said, I'm not going any farther. If God is going to require this from me, I'm not willing to give it. But Abraham had already burned the ships. He had already made up his mind. Let me tell you, there's power in a made up mind. An indomitable, anointed human spirit that says, all I need is a word and a pointed finger of direction. When you've got a made up mind, it doesn't matter what God requires from you. The word says that he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, the Lord was able to perform. Doesn't matter how high the mountain is. Doesn't matter how dark the darkness is. Doesn't matter how deep the valley goes. Doesn't matter how formidable the beasts of Ephesus are that may attack my mind. I've got a word from God. There's something beyond where I am. Oh, I feel a little faith rising up in this house. Well, somebody get loud with the preacher tonight. Somebody get noisy in the house of God. Somebody begin to let the word begin to mix with your faith, and it will profit them that believe. Oh, hallelujah. Abraham had a word and a direction, and he was living in a world of a vast frontier. It was a mostly unsettled world. It was a mostly unconquered land. The rugged nature of the land was not kind to the human condition. And there were in Abraham's future places that had been traveled very little. It wasn't like he could go down the road and check into a Motel 6 at night. But he was walking a path that very, very few had walked in his day, and nobody had really walked it like Abraham was walking it. And he was going to places that had not been traveled, and places, land that had probably never been touched, and land that certainly was not owned by anybody. And the movement and the settlement of people in those days was, we understand through history and through the shaping of civilization even today, they would move down the coast of the sea, and they would settle upon the banks of the rivers, because there was no sustenance upon a land that was a dry and thirsty land. If you wanted to live in a dry and thirsty land, then you needed a water source. And so it was that Abraham was led into some lands that had not been settled.
And there was not the water source that was plentiful in many of the other settled lands of the world. And Abraham didn't allow that to discourage him, Brother Panero. He didn't say, because nobody's living here, I can't live here. Because nobody has dominion in this land, I can't have dominion in this land. He said, no, I'll tell you what, I've got an understanding that somewhere deep below the land that I'm standing on, there is a river. There is a source of water. And so the Bible says that Abraham, in the unsettled lands of the frontier, began to drop wells down deep into the earth. And when a man would drop a well into the earth, that man would, in doing so, take ownership of that land. Whoever owned the well owned the land, because you couldn't survive on the land without a well. So if you controlled the well, you controlled the land. To come and to make war with a man and to seize his well was not just to take a drink of water. It wasn't like, Brother Lindsay, you had a bottle of water and I just took it out of your hand. But it was to drive a man out of his land. If you were to take a well, then they would be driven to another place. And so the Bible says in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 25 that Abraham had dug a well. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. They had come and they had taken away a well of Abraham. But Abraham understood that I've got a promise and I'm taking dominion over the land. And so my well is worth fighting for. My well is worth being contended for. In 1954, in an unconquered land in Santa Maria, God sent a man and said, it may not be by a source like other places, but if you'll drop a well here and contend for the well, year after year, they've been fighting for this well. Decade after decade, you've been warring for your father's well. I came with the word that what began back then, God's going to do it again. God will complete the work. I'm preaching to people that have been in this church 10, 15, 25, some 30 and 40 years. And for generations, you've been contending for the well that your father dropped into a previously unconquered wild land. I got a word for you. Don't stop fighting. You just stay in the fight. God's going to give you enough fight to match the 24 hours in your day. You just keep picking up that sword. And you keep declaring the promises of God in the face of your situation, and you just defend that well. You can draw sustenance from that well. When you come to the house of God, you're going to get a word out of the well.
Hallelujah. Psalm 105 says, for the Lord, He is good. His mercy is everlasting, and hear it, His truth endureth to all generations. Now I like that scripture. That tells, there are some that believe that between the day of Pentecost until now that there have been times. I don't believe this, Brother Panero. But there are those that believe that there have been times that this apostolic truth has not been preached. But I believe that there has been a carrier of the torch that was lit on the day of Pentecost since that day. And even the 400 years of prophetic silence between the testaments, there were still those that were bearing the truth according to the revelation that God had given at that time. Abraham contended for his wells and he passed his wells down. We've got to understand that if truth is going to endure for every generation, then somebody's got to rise up and earnestly contend for the faith, earnestly contend for the well that was dropped one time and contend for it in every generation.
Let me just tell you, there's still one God, and His name is Jesus. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, somebody finish it for me. The Lord our God is one Lord. I'm going to pick up where that one leaves off and say there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whoa! Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. I'm preaching baptisms about a word, and it's about a deed. And you better do it all in the name. I'm glad that I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You better start. If you haven't been contending for the faith, if you don't believe in what I'm preaching about more today than you've ever believed in your life, you need to get up tomorrow morning, find your prayer closet, open up your Bible, and get a revelation of who Jesus is. He's the same Jesus that He was in 1954. The Jesus that started this church is the Jesus that's going to complete this church. And the thing about wells is that because Abraham reproved Abimelech and contended for the well, it became Isaac's well. If you don't contend for this faith, then it won't become your baby's faith. If you don't contend for this church, then your kids won't grow up and become a part of this church. Can I get a witness in this house tonight? And so when he was digging wells, there was something that was subconscious in his spirit that I believe that Abraham had a deep spiritual understanding that I'm not just digging wells for me, but I'm digging some wells for my kids. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Somebody put your hands together. Say, I'm going to dig some wells. There was an understanding that I'm not just digging them for my kids, but I'm digging some wells for my grandkids. Abraham wasn't just digging wells because he was thirsty. I'm not just preaching Santa Maria because I need a place to preach and a paycheck. I'm preaching because Brother Panero, you and I and this great church and all this ministry team that so faithfully serves God, we gotta contend for some things. Cause Michaela's coming up and I got 5 babies and some of you got grandkids and they don't need to be responsible for digging their own well. They need to redig the wells of their father. Abraham was settling the land for future generations. I think that Peter might have, he just might have had this in his mind when he said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And because Abraham contended for the well, then there was a transition of the well. Because Pastor Keys contended for the well, there's been a transition of leadership at the well. When you contend for the well, God's always going to line somebody else up to manage that well, to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, to clean that well out. Sometimes that well needs to be cleaned out a little bit. Amen. The Bible says that there was a transition of authority of the well from Abraham to Isaac. In 26:18 it says, and Isaac digged again. Hallelujah. It's not enough that Bishop Keys dug, but I gotta dig again. It's not enough that your grandma got a revelation, but you gotta dig again. We are the children of God. He doesn't have grandchildren. That means that every generation's got to have their own personal relationship with God. It's not enough for Papa and Grandma to dig, but you got to dig again, baby. He digged again the wells which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. Hear it, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Now that's what happens in transition. When you're trying to transition the faith of your fathers to your children, you're going to have some kind of Philistine that comes up and tries to rob the stagecoach while it's going around the corner. I preached for Brother Tim Flowers, and while I was preaching, the Lord gave me a vision of a stagecoach coming around the corner. The Holy Ghost said, somebody in this house is in transition, and while it's going around the corner, that's when the enemy will attack. The enemy will try to attack when there's a handing off of the torch. The enemy will try to attack in transition because the previous generation's unsure and the new generation's not quite confident in what God's called them to do. And so where there's vulnerabilities on both sides, that's when the enemy's going to come in like a flood. But the Spirit of the Lord, you just keep digging the well, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. I like this part. It says, and he called their names. What names? The name of the well. They named their wells. He called them after the names by which his father had called them. You know, my father called it holiness. So I call it holiness. I'm a holiness preacher. Amen. My daddy baptized in Jesus' name. But I'm not just the grandchild of that revelation, because I got a revelation that you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm going to baptize and call that well by the exact same name that my father called that well. Amen. There are some things that we do in our churches that are being lost in this day and age because there's a mentality in an Isaac generation that says that we can change the name and nip a little here and tuck a little there and cut a little over here. I got news for you. That's a Philistine spirit that's trying to throw dust, trying to throw dirt, trying to throw flesh in the well. You got to clean the flesh out of your well and say, I'm going to keep it dug up and I'm going to call it the same thing that they called it at Azusa Street. I'm going to call it the same thing that they called it at Pentecost. I'm still a believer that God is a God that never changes. What I love about this is that Isaac had an understanding of the value of Abraham's wells. Brother Panero, I'm standing on this platform, but I didn't build this platform. I've got to have an understanding that I'm standing on the shoulders of a great cloud of witnesses. Elder, you're about 2 years older than me, I think. There's got to be a proper transition of respect between the younger and the elder. Between an Isaac generation and an Abraham generation. Now, I've preached in a few churches that didn't have a lot of elders. And it's hard to preach in churches that don't have a lot of elders. Because they don't have the depth of well that the elder has, Brother Walker. Those wells are more like mud puddles sometimes. They may be going the right direction and digging, but they haven't went as deep in the spirit as some of you have went because of the trial and the tribulation that dug flesh out of your life again and again and again. There's some deep elders in this house, and there's got to be an Isaac generation that doesn't come in and tear up Jack and say, I'm going to do it all a different way, but I'm going to pick up where they left off. I'm going to redig the wells of my father, and I'm going to call it by the same name. Here's why Isaac had a revelation of the value of Abraham's well. Because Abraham wasn't the only one that climbed Moriah. Sometimes we preach about Abraham climbing Moriah and we forget that Isaac was required by God to climb that mountain of sacrifice. Every generation is going to be required to climb the mountain of sacrifice. And it was Isaac who willingly positioned himself upon that altar of sacrifice. Isaac was big enough to carry the wood. That means that he was big enough to resist his daddy and climb off that altar. I don't know how old he was, but it wasn't a 2-year-old kid that didn't know what was going on. Isaac was required to sacrifice his mindset on that altar. Because Isaac didn't get up off that altar, Abraham's altar that we preach about became Isaac's altar. And when Abraham's altar becomes Isaac's altar, elder, Abraham's promises became Isaac's promises. And when Abraham's promises became Isaac's promises, Abraham's wells became Isaac's wells. Hatayakalabasa. We got churches with families that are dying and backsliding because everybody wants wells and everybody wants a promise, but don't nobody want to climb the mountain and get a hold of Abraham's altar. I came with a clarion call in the Holy Ghost that if you'll do what Abraham did, then you'll inherit exactly what Abraham had. And it's at that altar. Now we're in this generation. Everybody's getting attacked with their mind. You know, like mental illness and stuff. It's like a big deal now. When I was a kid, they didn't talk about it as much. That doesn't mean it wasn't as prevalent, but I don't think it was quite as prevalent, Brother Walker, and I'll tell you why. Because I think that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more the enemy's attacking the minds of people. So maybe it's not that it was hidden and we just didn't talk about it, though I know there was an element of that in the 80s and before that and whatever. But I think that we're getting so close to the coming of the Lord that the mind games and the manipulation and the tricks of the devil and the wearing out of the saints, Daniel 7:25, with great words will he wear out the saints of the Most High God. It's happening more in your generation than it happened in Abraham's generation. It's happening more than it has ever happened before. And so here is the challenge. Brother, here's the challenge. When I have this brain fog and this anxiety and depression, all this other stuff, then how can I hear the voice of God? How can I find the will of God for my life when all I've got is a fog of confusion every day when I wake up? How does an Isaac generation get the will of God? How does an Isaac generation carry on what was contended for in an Abraham generation? I'll tell you how. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Isaac, you better get up on your altar and present your body a living sacrifice, just what Isaac did. Holy, there's a word that you're not going to hear preached in non-denominational Christianity. You got to be holy. You got to live right, walk right, and think right. Holiness is not just what's on the outside of the cup, but it's what's on the inside of the cup. Amen. Hallelujah. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not going to carry on the promise of Abraham. If you're one doing one thing at church and doing another thing at home, then you're never going to walk into the promise that God is trying to put on your generation. But you've got to lay yourself on the altar, and it's then that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, there's clarity at the altar. Hey, get all that fog out of your mind right now and you hear what I'm preaching to you. There's clarity for you at the altar. Some of you, it's like there's flies buzzing above your head. There's clarity for you at the altar. If you'll get your altar regular and you'll get your altar repaired, then I'm going to tell you that fog will begin to dissipate and you won't be able to help but walking in the divine will of our God. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Lift your hands and talk to the Lord right now. We need to pray this word into our spirit. You know, the wells didn't stop with Isaac. The wells didn't stop. There was never a generation where the wells stopped. Because in John 4, Jesus walks up and must needs go through Samaria. He walks up to a well. And that well's called Jacob's well. Because the well didn't stop with Abraham. The well didn't stop with Isaac. That well didn't stop with Jacob. But that well led all the way to Jesus. Don't you like how in Genesis he starts declaring the end from the beginning? He starts talking about wells in the beginning because he wants to show us what that well brings forth in the end. And Jesus sees a woman there and he says, "Woman, give me to drink." And she says, "How are you talking to me? Jews have no fellowship with Samaritans." And Jesus said, "Woman, if you knew who I was, then it wouldn't be me asking you for a drink, but you'd be asking me for a drink." She said, "Do you think you're greater than our father Jacob in this well?" And he didn't quite say it like this, but I got a feeling that this might have been what was going through his mind. "I am the well, lady. I'm Abraham's well. I'm Isaac's well. I'm Jacob's well." Amen. "With joy shall you drink of the well of salvation," Isaiah said. He said, "There's going to be one. It's going to be for the root of Jesse. There's going to be a branch that comes up." The very next chapter, talking about Jesus, it says, "With joy will you drink from that well." John 7:38 says that when you tap into the source, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So Abraham dug the well, but it was pointing towards Jesus. And Isaac redug the well, and it was pointing towards Jesus. And Jacob contended for the well, and it was all leading up to Jesus. And that lady drew water from the well, and she didn't understand it, but it was the fulfillment of the type and shadow of the well that began all the way back in the beginning, and it was all talking about Jesus. Everything in that book's about Jesus. He is the wellspring of life. And I got news for you. When you are baptized in his name, repent of your sins, then you become a part of the body of Christ. And so not only is Jesus a well, but waters begin to flow out of you, and you begin to become a wellspring. So why don't you get up tomorrow morning and dig your well? Why don't you make sure that there's not a Philistine piece of dirt that's going to live in my well? I'm going to be exactly who God called me to be. Somebody dig the well right now. Somebody clean out the well right now. Somebody begin to plug in with Jesus. Somebody tap into the source right now. He's a water that you'll drink and never thirst again. Shakata.
Brother Panero, when the Lord placed you as pastor of this church, He placed you as steward of an old well. And it is incumbent upon you to lead this beautiful body of believers to redig the same revival they had back then. That's why your church is named Revival Tabernacle. Hey, listen, Abraham's generation lived up to that name. Isaac's generation better start living up to that name. Jacob's generation's gonna live up to that name should the Lord tarry. I'm telling you that there's a well of apostolic anointing in Santa Maria. I wish you could see in the Spirit what I feel like the Holy Ghost has allowed me to see in prayer about your church. There's a well of spiritual giftings. There's a flow of the Spirit. There are apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers that God wants to raise up and train up and to draw forth from this well. There's an answer to your current situation in the well. There's direction for your future walk in the well. There's healing from your troubled past at the well. All you got to do is stand to your feet and say, I'm not just going to be satisfied with getting a drink every once in a while, but I'm going to become a part of the well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elder, how long you been serving the Lord? 50 years this man's been digging. I'm not trying to say anything negative about my elder here, but his strongest days of well digging are behind him. But his greatest days of pouring into others in prayer are in front of him. Now, Elder, we go from walking real strong in our body as young men to walking real strong in the Spirit when we become elders. And so the enemy comes and tries to say that our prayers don't mean much because we don't have as much strength in our voice as we had when we were 35 and 40. I got news for you. One whispered prayer in your, when you set up in your bed tomorrow morning, you whisper a prayer. One whispered prayer of an Abraham is going to ripple through the Spirit. Elder, lay your hands on me and pray for me right now. Go find an elder right now. Go find an elder. Young man, go find an Abraham right now. Go find an Abraham. Say, Elder, lay your hands on me. I need to get a hold of what you've had in your hands. That's it. Go find an Abraham. Go look for the gray hair. Go look for the wisdom. Have them lay their hands on you. There is apostolic impartation in this. Stand to your feet and lift your hands and plug into the source right now. Maybe your well's been clogged up with some stuff. Maybe there's been some life and some flesh and some situations that have been not allowing you to flow the way that God intends you to flow. Why don't you walk out and step out in faith and come up to the altar? We got a lot of space up here. Somebody break the ice and lead. Amen. Somebody come up to an altar right now. Jesus is going to restore a well back to operating position tonight. That's it. That's it. Maybe you've been isolating yourself. Pick up a shovel and start working in this church again. Amen. Maybe you've been isolating yourself. When you isolate yourself, the Philistines will throw dirt in your well. Pick up your shovel. Get behind the vision of God. Go to work and say, I'm going to be who God called me to be. I'm a child of God. Yeah, that's the flow of the well. That's the flow of the river. Somebody lift your voice. Don't pray tentatively. Don't pray off your back foot. But let it flow. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let it flow right now. Hakayayayaka.
That's it. Wells of warring prayer. Wells of intercession. Wells of the Spirit. Wells of gifting. You're a well, and God's got something that He wants to draw out of you. That's it. Dig it out. Dig it out. Dig it out. Hallelujah. Link up with somebody and keep praying. Link up with somebody and keep praying. Nobody isolated. Go take a sister's hand. Go lay your hand on a brother's shoulder right now. Go link up with somebody right now. Let it flow. 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 Rivers of living water. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Maybe you haven't talked in tongues in a while. You can talk in tongues tonight. Let it flow. Maybe you haven't had a good day in a while. God will restore unto you the joy of salvation. You just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. I think somebody hit water. I think somebody tapped into the river. I think somebody saw a dam open up. Let it flow right now. It'll flow through you on your job. It'll flow through you to your kids. It'll flow through you in your family. That's it. Go ahead and tap in. Get lost in it. Go ahead and get cut loose and get drunk in the Holy Ghost tonight. Well, that's it. Go ahead. It's all right if we got to carry you out of here. You let it flow. Hiya, hiya, call the hot.